Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with Lesson 2 on Overcoming Fear. We are looking at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14, 15, and 16. As you recall, in the last lesson we began to look at this text and explain that Peter is unfolding an answer to the problem of fear. And the basic fear that we face is the fear of death. And there are several fears that stem from this basic fear of death. Because death is a fear of the unknown, there are fears relating to the unknown that accompany this basic fear. And so now Peter is helping you and helping me to overcome this basic fear and the attending fears. Let's once again read the text. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14, 15, and 16. Actually, I'm beginning in the middle of verse 14. You follow along in your Bible. And do not fear what they fear, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. In verse 16, I'm really interested in the beginning of the verse, and keep a good conscience. What we have here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14, 15, and 16 is actually what turns out to be a little formula. And I don't want to be formulaic, but the text, as far as the grammar is concerned, lays out a particular pattern. Do not fear. That's the basic exhortation. You remember that this is the case. Do not fear the things that others fear. Do not fear their fear is how the text reads literally. And it means do not fear the things that others fear. And once again, the basic fear is the fear of death. And Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 speak about the devil having the power of death, and he holds death over the heads of individuals and promotes fear in their hearts. Because death relates to passing into the unknown. And if we understand the Bible correctly, if you understand the Bible correctly, everyone knows deep down in their hearts that when they pass from this life into the next, they will stand before God in judgment. And facing judgment is an awesome thing and can be a very fearful thing. So do not fear the things that they fear, others fear. You see, if you're really a Christian, you will not fear death. You will not fear passing from this life into the next. You will be a person who, like a good friend of mine, when he had a heart attack, went into the hospital, and he told the nurses, if I pass from this life and the heart that's within me stops, don't revive me. I want to remain in the next life. And his wife and family knew that this was his sentiment. He did not fear death, but was in fact eager to enter into the life to come and to be with his Savior. Do not fear what others fear, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. What we're talking about here is a heart matter, and the heart involves the entire inner being of each of us. What we think, what we feel, and how we act, what we think. We think in our hearts. This is the biblical model. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This is what the Bible tells us. And our feelings and our emotions stem from our hearts. And fear arises in our hearts. You see, this is a particular emotion that we express. And then we act in accordance with that fear. We may tremble. You remember, I told you the little story of going into the aid station in Vietnam. I was a chaplain there, and the young man lying on the floor was very badly wounded. And as soon as I knelt over him and he eyed me, he said, "Chaplain, am I going to die?" He didn't want to die. There was a fear of death. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. You see, that fear of death was stemming from the depths of his heart. And the answer to fear is to set Christ aside in your hearts as Lord. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Again, the basic Christian confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and really believe in your heart, see, this is a heart matter. It's not that you just have certain knowledge about what the Bible says. Oh, yes, the Bible talks about the resurrection from the dead, and that's nice. And you even assent to the truth of what the Bible has to say. You say, well, the Bible speaks about the resurrection of the dead, and I believe the Bible is true. And that's the level to which you are, at the level of at which you are living. But then there's trust. There's knowledge, assent, and trust. You must trust God in Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead indicates to you that as the first fruits of the resurrection, you will be raised from the dead when Christ comes a second time in glory. In fact, if Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection is in progress. It's already begun. And so there's a sense in which your hope is in Christ and the resurrection which is to come. And, of course, this is the great hope of the Christian. And this is a hope that you should have in your heart. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. How do you sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts? Always being ready to defend your hope. I've already spoken of this hope, that this is the hope of the resurrection. If you're going to sanctify and set aside Christ as Lord in your heart, you have to have in your heart the hope of the resurrection. This is not just an intellectual idea that happens to be in the Bible. One of my good friends and colleagues at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary is a Calvin scholar. And he's actually a world-renowned Calvin scholar. And I think if you would ask him, are there those who have studied Calvin, and they have studied Calvin's theology, and they know very well what Calvin teaches, would they also say, well, I don't believe a word of what Calvin says. I know what Calvin teaches, but I don't believe a word of it. It's all bunk. Yes, he would say that this is the case. He knows people like this. And it's quite startling, isn't it, that individuals should spend their lives studying a theologian, someone who has deeply studied the Bible, and they would know all about what this theologian knows about the Bible, But at the same time, they would say, it's a bunch of rubbish, and I don't believe a whit of it. Well, although there are people who are in the world like this, you and I must not be like this. We must have in our hearts a deep hope with regard to the resurrection which is to come. A colleague of mine, another colleague of mine at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, who's the head of our Biblical Counseling Institute, has a lot of problems with asthma. And he confesses, because of the medications he's taken over the years, that various joints in his body, especially his knees and hips, have deteriorated quite a bit. And he therefore has a lot of aches and pains. And whenever I see him, I say to him, "Hello, brother, how are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm doing pretty well, and I know that the resurrection is coming." And he says this because he knows that the resurrection of the dead will mean a transformation of his earthly body, and he will no longer experience the pain that he experiences in his body on a regular basis. He has this hope, and he's willing to talk about it. How do you sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts? You must have this hope, and you must be ready to talk to others about this deep hope that you have in your heart. So, this is the first thing that you do with regard to sanctifying Christ as Lord in your hearts. Examine your heart with regard to your hope in Jesus Christ. And then the second thing is, it comes in verse 16 in our text, always being ready to defend the hope that's in you, comes in verse 15. Let's read the text again. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. How do you do this? Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's within you. And keeping a good conscience. This is how the text literally reads, and keeping a good conscience. So this idea of having a good conscience or keeping a good conscience relates to sanctifying Christ as Lord in your hearts. And what is conscience? Conscience is that mechanism within you that responds to the various things that you do. And if you do something that is regarded good, you feel good. Your conscience, in other words, says yes. Your conscience affirms that what you have done. Your conscience affirms your conduct. On the other hand, if you do something which is bad, which is contrary to the standards of God, or contrary to the things that you have learned, then you feel guilty. In other words, your conscience is responding to your conduct and feels bad because of your bad conduct. Now, how do you have a good conscience, or how do you keep a good conscience? Well, you must seek to do that which is right and good in the sight of God. If you're a Christian and you're sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart, then you want to obey Christ. You want to express love for Christ. And as Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So you keep a good conscience by doing that which is right and acceptable in the sight of God. And then when you err, when you do something which is wrong, when you do something which is bad, and you, as a consequence of your bad conduct, feel bad, then you go to Christ and you say, Lord, please forgive me. You died on the cross to pay the penalty due to me for my sins. Forgive me. And you go to your Heavenly Father and you say, Father, forgive me because of what Christ has done for me. And you don't use that ability to go before God and seek forgiveness as an excuse to do things which are evil or bad. No, you recognize that you are to have a good conscience if you are truly going to set Christ aside in your heart. And what does this mean? That if you have this great hope within you, the hope of the resurrection, and you are keeping a good conscience because you love Jesus Christ in your heart, the fear of death evaporates. The fear of the unknown attending the fear of death also begins to evaporate. Why? Because there's no fear of entering into the life to come. Your Heavenly Father will receive you on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so, as an adopted child of God, do not fear what others fear. Don't fear the unknown. Again, when I was in Vietnam, I had occasion to travel throughout the territory south of Saigon. And one of the things that I learned very rapidly was that as the Vietnamese saw me, and they saw my cap with captain bars on it, they would often steal my cap. Well, I got a little annoyed with buying new caps. And I finally tumbled on something. That if I put the chaplain's insignia, the cross, on my hat, and had a patch sewn on the front of my hat that said chaplain, the Vietnamese civilians wouldn't steal my hat. They had a certain reverence for the chaplain, and so they wouldn't steal my cap. A very interesting circumstance. Well, as I traveled around in South Vietnam, just my driver and I, traveling around, we went into areas that we probably shouldn't have ventured into alone. And one day when I was talking to one of the brigade officers, he happened to be the brigade training officer, and we were standing in front of the map that showed the brigade area, he said to me, Chaplain, where have you been? And I pointed on the map where we had traveled, and he said, I wouldn't go down into that area without a full company of armed soldiers. There was a fear that he had of entering that territory without being well armed. Well, I was either dumb and stupid or exceedingly full of trust and hope with regard to the living God. You can make a judgment about that. But as we traveled in that territory, I experienced very little fear. And I think part of the reason was that I understood this principle. You were to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, that the idea of hope is attached to this sanctification and setting aside of Christ in your hearts. And associated with that is also the idea of keeping a good conscience. Now, I'm speaking to you with regard to your being an adopted child of God. And we're drawing the analogy to adopted children in our own families. What do we do when adopted children in our families experience fear? Well, you and I must not only model what we've been talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, but you and I must speak to our children about Jesus Christ, about the hope of the resurrection, and about keeping a good conscience. You and I must speak to our children about who Jesus Christ actually is and how He is the Lord of all, and there is great hope in Him. I remember when Irma's mother passed away, and we went to Western Kansas for the funeral and then came home. And our oldest daughter was just a little tot. And one day, she came to the kitchen after Irma's mother had passed away and we'd been to Western Kansas with the funeral. And she asked this question of her mother. "Mama, where's Grandma?" We had been studying and learning the Catechism for Young Children. And one of the questions in the Catechism for Young Children is this: what does Adam have besides a body? And the answer is very simple. He has a soul that will never die. And our daughter had learned the answer to that question. And so Irma said to her, "Do you remember the question, what does Adam have besides a body?" And she said, "Yes." "Well, what's the answer?" "He has a soul that will never die." And Irma said, "Grandma's body was placed in the ground, and Grandma's soul went to heaven to be with Jesus." And then the little gal ran off to play. Understanding in a minimal way the hope of the resurrection, and in the heart knowing Jesus as Lord. One of our adopted children had night terrors. And if you know the full story of this little one, you understand why, as a small child, she had night terrors. One of the ways she began to overcome that fear and these night terrors was learning to sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And when those night terrors would arise, her mother would sit by her side and encourage her to look to Jesus and sing the little song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." How do you overcome fear? And how are adopted children to overcome fear? Children adopted into God's family and children adopted into our families. The basic injunction is do not fear, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for the hope that is within you, and keeping or having a good conscience. This is how, at least in part, you and I and our adopted children and adopted grandchildren are going to overcome fear. Thanks for listening.